Wendy, it's not easy. I know you think it's easy. It's not easy. There's buttons, there's knobs, there's dials, there's switches.
You are adorable.
There's toggle bolts. I don't know what a toggle bolt is, but there's a bunch of toggle bolts, so I toggle it to the left. Then they go, no, no, no.
Thursday. Wait.
Thursday. For those of you listening, you will not be charged for today's broadcast. This one is on the house, gratis, and it should be that way. Hi, it's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder, although Wendy probably wants her name off of it. I don't blame you, Wendy. I don't blame you.
We go down together, I guess.
Yep. Really quick, now this is something that just happened a little while ago on the regular show, as the kids like to call it, on the downstairs show. But I just want to make mention of this. Dean Richards was on. One of the finest film critics in all the land is Dean Richards. You know, he picked his top 10 best. He picked his top 10 worst. He shared them with us. So at some point, you mentioned some movie and you go, there's two. You're talking about Sausage Party. There's 2 hours I'll never get back. And then Dean's talking about some movie and he goes, there's 2 hours I'll never get back. And I was thinking, no matter what you do in life, whether it's really, really great or really, really horrible or anything in the middle, no matter what you've done, that is time that you will never get back.
But if it's good time, then you don't mind giving up 2 hours of your life.
Yes, true, but irregardless or regardless of that.
There is no irregardless.
You can't get a, the time has, time passages.
Thank you, Al Stewart.
You're
worst
welcome.
Song ever.
You're welcome.
You're the Cat is just as bad.
Maybe, but whatever's happened has happened, and you might have loved it, and you might have hated it. But you could say that about something you loved. You could have just had the best ice cream sundae of all time, and then you could say at the end, "Well, there's 31 minutes I'll never get back," because it's true. You can't get that time back.
But wouldn't you be willing to sacrifice those 31 minutes if it was 31 minutes of pleasure?
I guess. But yes. But the point, you know what I mean.
I know.
You know, it's happened. Although I do find myself now as I'm getting older, because Wendy, I'm getting older, and I've noticed that as I've gotten older, and this is just a new development. This is just something that's happened in the last year or so. When the option is there to do something, we're in the old days. Like my wife will say, "Hey, I'm going to watch a movie." And it's about ducks migrating. And there was a time where I'd go, "Well, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun," but my wife's going to be there, and I'll watch it with her. And now my new thing is I go, no.
Because time is too short. You can't spend it fighting with people or doing things you don't enjoy.
Well, I'm a fan of fighting with people. I like fighting with people. I'm all right with that. But the do not enjoy thing, because on a day, you know how on a daily basis there's a couple things that happen. You go, well, I could do this, or I could not do that. So you're faced with that dilemma. What do I want to do, this or not this? And I keep choosing things that I know will not be pleasurable. You know?
Why?
Because of the interest of time. Because I say to myself, if our lives are an hourglass and you only have so much sand at the top, as I see the sand dripping down, I go, do I really want to go see Mark? You know what I mean?
Oh, all right, I gotcha.
Do I want to spend time with Mark? If I only have that much sand left, and every time I go see Mark, it's not good. I want to go back and see him again. You know what I mean?
We are the same age right now for like another month.
You're still older.
Yeah, and I will be older in
there's
February.
4 months I'll never get back.
But I will tell you, after having surgery right before Christmas, I said to everyone, my whole family, I said, listen, if I don't feel like going to my mother-in-law's on Christmas Eve, then I'm not going.
Oh, wow. How was that received?
She totally understood because she got a knee replacement last summer.
Oh, interesting.
And then the family party out at my cousin's, I said, they were actually surprised I was coming. And I said, no, I've been sitting around in this house.
Yeah.
I love my family, but I need to see other people.
Right, right, right.
But I said, if I'm not feeling well, I'm playing it by ear. And same thing with going to Peoria to see my brother and his family. I said, if I'm not feeling better, I'm not coming. There's no pressure. It's totally up to me. And everybody gave me that decision this year.
That's so nice.
And I felt I wanted to go.
But you can use this. You know how when people have a baby for like 2 years, no matter what comes up, they go, well, we can't go there. We had a baby. And you go, well, they did just have a baby a year and a half ago, so they can't come. But you can use this for
no,
for
I'm
at
done.
Least a couple months.
No.
You can't?
No, I mean, my knee is just stiff. The scar is pretty much all healed. I'll be back at work next week. I'm not using a cane anymore. Yeah. I can't keep milking this.
Oh, I'd use this for about 6 months. I would try for 6 months to go, I just had knee surgery in December. You want me to do that? I can't do that.
Well, I can't work out for at least 6 months, you know, like what I want to do, like yoga and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not going to work for a little while.
Yeah.
But when we had our babies, that's what Jim called them, our little bundles of excuses. Because it's perfect. Oh, can't. The baby's colicky.
Yeah.
Can't
yeah.
come.
Yeah. When I was a kid, one of my grandfathers, Papa Charlie, Wendy, as he was
that's
known affectionately.
Called
we called him Papa Charlie, which was
it's
weird
cute.
Because his name was not Charlie. To this day, I don't know why we referred to him as Papa Charlie, because he was thrown by it. He'd say to us, why do you call me that? That's not my name. So when we were kids, Papa Charlie was a very busy man. He ran a restaurant, and he was there from like 6 a.m. till 1 in the morning every night.
Jeez.
And he was a very, very hard worker. And we knew that normally Papa Charlie was not available to attend family functions. If there was a birthday party or a first communion or whatever the family get-together was, more than likely he wasn't there because he was either at the restaurant working or he was trying to catch up on sleep. And we all knew that and respected it. And when he did attend something, like there were a couple of birthday parties that we didn't expect him at and he showed up, it was the greatest gift in the world to see him there.
Papa Charlie.
Papa Charlie's here. And he would look around and he'd go, where is he? And we'd go, it's you, Papa Charlie. You're here. But to this day, like I say, I would like to be like Papa Charlie where I show up somebody and they go, everyone goes, Bill, I didn't think you'd come because you're busy, but I'm here, you know?
I did get that at all three Christmas celebrations this year. Like, we didn't think you'd make it.
And
we're
doesn't
so
that feel great?
Yes.
Yeah.
It really did.
That's how it should always be. Life should always be like Papa Charlie showing up unexpected, where everyone just goes, now we have something. You're here. That should be the best. You know,
it is a good feeling. And yeah. I even dropped the ball literally this year, the Saran wrap ball. Last year, my mother-in-law, do you know what this is, Bill?
No.
It's a fun little thing that you basically put like a $50 bill or something in the very center, and then you start rolling Saran wrap around it to make this giant ball. And in each little layer of Saran wrap is maybe like a lottery ticket, mm-hmm. a pack of gum, some
Oh, you've
batteries.
Done this in the past, right?
We just last year. That was the first time we did it, and it was so much fun. If you roll doubles, you get to unwrap the Saran wrap ball until someone else throws doubles. Well, we had so much fun last year at my mother-in-law's that I volunteered to make the Saran wrap ball.
Despite your injury, you still volunteered?
Well, I volunteered myself a year ago before
nice.
I knew I was having surgery, and then 2 days before Christmas Eve, I looked at Jimmy Mack and said, I have yet to make the Saran wrap ball.
Time's a ticking.
I didn't make the ball.
You literally dropped the ball.
I did.
How long, being a novice to this, how long would it take somebody to create such a ball?
My mother-in-law said it took her several months because she would do a little at a time.
Oh,
so this was now 2 days before.
You can't catch up on that overnight.
No, so we didn't have a Saran wrap ball this year.
Christmas was ruined.
Actually, can I tell you a beautiful little thing that happened?
I'd love to hear this. Yes.
At my mother-in-law's house.
Yes.
My mother-in-law's mother, Gran,
mm-hmm.
passed away, and she loved the 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
She had it memorized, and my mother-in-law went and saw her last Christmas alive and brought her a book because they didn't think she'd memorize it, and she did. She
memorized it at an older age? She memorized
yes.
it? Yes. Oh, that's impressive.
She just recited it. She didn't need the book, and it was like kind of a beautiful moment, the last Christmas that my mother-in-law shared with her mother.
Yeah.
So this year, she purchased the book, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, and she had Dylan, our youngest in the family, 15-year-old son Dylan, he read it for all to hear, and that started a new tradition. So each year someone is going to read that in honor of Gran.
That's a nice one. That's a very nice one.
And then
next year, myself and Papa Charlie would like to come and visit and share that with you guys.
We would love to have, especially if Papa Charlie came.
He would love to be there for that. I think I may have memorized that.
Really?
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. and I and my kerchief, wait, and Mon or kerchief and I and my cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap. Did I leave a stanza out?
I don't know. I don't know if you jumped ahead.
Sometimes I edit the parts that I think are ridiculous.
I'm surprised you didn't think kerchief was ridiculous.
No, kerchief is not ridiculous, but the part where somebody goes off like a thistle, that part's ridiculous. Because nobody, in 2018, there's nobody going off like a thistle. Those days are over. Papa Charlie's in studio with me, nodding his head in agreement, Wendy. That's so cool that she would take it on herself at what age to just memorize it. How old was she?
Well, I don't know how long Gran lived. She was in her 90s, I believe, when she passed away. But just every year at Christmas, she recited it. And the last Christmas my mother-in-law shared with her at the, you know, whatever the home was that she was in, she had memorized it. And it's just been a lovely little thing. Then, you know, the Partridge in a Pear Tree thing.
12 Days of Christmas, sure.
Yes. I guess
the longest Christmas song of all time.
Well, we also did something with that where my oldest son, Michael, who's 18, and Uncle Billy, whom you know,
yeah,
Jimmy Mac's brother,
yeah,
they played guitar, and we each got a part to sing, and we sang it.
Oh, that's also very... Wow, you guys had... That's a pretty good Christmas special you guys had going.
It was. It should have been televised.
What did Jimmy Katsifaris do?
I can't remember what line he got. The Lord's a-leaping, I believe.
He's my, you know, I have a very close working relationship with you, and I love your husband and your boys, but my favorite family member is your brother-in-law, Jimmy Katsifaris. That's my favorite.
Married to Sheila, who is now Sheila Katsifaris.
Yeah, the Katsifaris family was there. Oh, that's a cool thing.
But it was kind of really sentimental and wonderful, and then I was kind of relieved that I didn't make the Saran Wrap ball.
Oh.
Because it wouldn't have been as sentimental as that.
It might have been too much.
Did you have any sentiments over your holiday season? Any traditions that you started?
There were some. You know, here's what happens. Kylie figured out, and I think she's right, that cards for birthday and for Christmas are ridiculous.
If you
have any kind of way of expressing yourself, why not just make a card and give it to somebody? As opposed to going and to CVS and spending $5 for a card and just signing your name.
And when did cards turn into $5? They used to be 99 cents.
Wendy, it was, I don't know if you know this, but my whole family's birthdays were last week. Did you know that?
Yes.
Reese and Kylie, the twins, are born on the 28th.
They're twins?
Yeah, Kylie and Reese are twins.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, they are twins. And then my wife, who was their mom and is their mom. Her birthday.
Oh, her birthday too. Terry's birthday is in that too.
New Year's Day.
So I didn't know that. That's Chris, Uncle Billy's birthday.
Yeah, his birthday is then. And when is Jimmy Katsifaris' birthday? Because I have to send him. I'm sending him a fruit basket.
I'll find out.
All right.
For you.
So there's a lot of gift giving. You know, with Christmas and Christmas Eve and their birthdays. There's a lot of gift giving, and there are cards. And I wanted to get a card for Terry because I wanted to send her a note. And boy, the card was $9.
What?
$9 for the card.
What did it do? Play a song?
No, it was just nice. Like you could go to Osco and get one for $1.50 or $2, but it's got glitter on it and it doesn't open properly, and the slots where you put the dimes in, you know, you put the 10 dimes in, those aren't the slots.
Still make those? I loved those cards. God, they were fun.
The one I remember like crazy was it was a little a Native American boy, and each teepee had a slot for a dime in it. And, you know, when you're 4 years old and you get that, it's like, I'm a millionaire.
Yeah.
But you're not. You get a buck, you know.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky. So Kylie, every year, makes these cards that she gives Terry, Reese, and myself with a little a note inside. And I get so emotional. I mean, no matter what you get, if you gave me a Tesla, I'd be insane. I'd go, yo, I got a Tesla. But this card makes me cry. And then my family just ridicules me because as soon as I see the card, I don't even open it. I don't even read the message. I just know it's going to be beautiful. And it's like watching Saving Private Ryan. I just tear up. I can't handle it.
They got to stop making fun of you. They should be happy that you're such a sensitive guy.
No, I get it because I'm really, you're supposed to be like, if you follow the family tradition, the father is supposed to be the rock. He's supposed to be the guy that you can't screw with this guy. He's a rock. But me.
Times have changed. What are you in the 50s still?
I wish I was better at being able to hold back my emotion, but when I read these, I should bring one in, although I wouldn't be able to read it on the air. I'd be a basket case. Cause she goes into detail about, you know, little moments of things that happened during the year. And she goes, I learned this from you. And when you said this and did this, and she goes, in what I'm going to, you know, my line of work, I wouldn't know how to do it if I didn't want. And I just, I don't know. I try to read it and I can't even get through it. I just, I'm a mess, you know?
Yeah, but see, again, that's us getting older. And listen, unless you have children, and your life changes.
Yeah,
as soon as you have a kid,
nothing changes it more than that.
A big marshmallow.
I'm a blubbering bag of marshmallows. And Papa Charlie and Jimmy Katsifaris were there, and they were laughing at me, Wendy. Both of them. They took my baseball cap off, and they were throwing it over my head, and I was reaching up and trying to catch it, and they wouldn't let me catch it. Oh, it was the worst.
I'm so sorry.
No, it was great. Oh, I got to tell you one other Christmas thing. When I was a little kid, we got this puzzle. We used to do jigsaw puzzles. All the time, right? And there was this company called Springbok that sold them at Crock and Brentano's. You remember Springbok puzzles?
Yes,
they were
I do.
The best. So there was one that we got one year for Christmas, and it was the night before Christmas. And as a little boy, now I got this when I was like 9 or 10. There's this scene in the puzzle version of The Night Before Christmas where it's the parents putting the kids to bed, and they're already kind of sleeping. But in the bed, there's these two little angelic kids. And even as a kid, I was like 9 or 10, I'm going, imagine a day when I'm the dad and it's Christmas night and I'm putting the kids to bed and they've got the visions of sugar plums dancing in their heads. And there's these two angelic little kids. Well, as it turns out, Reese and Kylie, I've thought about this forever, look just like those two kids. Like the little puzzle versions of those two kids going, being put to sleep on Christmas Eve and a Christmas Day, they look exactly like my daughters. So I told my daughters this. I go, I got to find that puzzle. I go, it's somewhere at the house I grew up in, but I got to find it, because when you see the likenesses of these two little kids and your own faces, it's uncanny how much you guys look like it. Well, instead of going to my house to find it, I found it online. I found a version of this puzzle, and there's their faces. I go, I can't wait to show Reese and Kylie. They're going to burst into tears, much like I did when I read Kylie's note. And then they see it, and they both have the same reaction. That doesn't look at all like us. But I'm telling you, it looks exactly like them.
I'm trying to look for it right now.
I'll find it and send it to you. It's the
same. Is it Clement Moore's Night Before Christmas?
Is it done like in a like a collage of different scenes from the poem, and where they're just kind of strewn about the puzzle? Is that the one you're looking at? I'll find it and send you a copy of it. But you see these faces, you go, that's Kylie, that's Reese, no doubt about it. They look at it, and they did that thing that kids do, and I do it sometimes too, where you turn your head sideways, which doesn't help at all, but it's like, maybe if I turn my head sideways, it'll look like us. Nope, it looks like us, not us sideways now.
What does Terry say? Does it look like the girls?
I was 0 for 2, I didn't want to make it 0 for 3. Like, they already turned, they go, no, that's... And Kylie was so upset, she goes, next year, you're not even getting a letter. She goes, you've wasted, this is 2 seconds of my life I'll never get back, she said. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break, then Judy Pilak will be here. She's got the news, and then more fun. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Judy, describe the face you just made as you said the high of 11.
Utter disgust.
It was disgust.
I know it's
too cold.
It's going to be 30 on Sunday, but I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
It's too,
yeah,
many,
you
too
guys,
many days. Too
it
many
has
days.
Been a lot of days, but, I mean, it could be worse. I mean, what
it
are they having?
It could always be worse, Wendy.
Bomb,
right.
Cyclone. Wouldn't you rather have the frigid cold than this blizzard
I'd
of
rather,
snow?
No, I don't mind snow. It's the cold I hate.
This
but
is pretty
unfortunately,
serious.
Unfortunately, they are having the snow and the cold.
Right, right, right.
They have both.
You know when it hurts the most? Like, last night on the news, they showed Alaska, and it was 12 degrees warmer in Alaska than it is here in Chicago.
I mean, it,
and
I
you could, can see Russia.
Yeah, from the house.
Exactly. There were icicles hanging in the Russia off the Kremlin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I get it. I've been in Chicago my whole life. But when it's this many days, you know, you can't take too many days of anything, even if it was utterly hot.
But don't you have to, as a Chicagoan, as somebody who's lived here for so long, don't you have to in your head go, we're going to have a dozen days this year that are just going to be miserable. There's nothing we can do about
it. But not
just
in a row.
That's the killer.
It's usually there's
row.
A break.
Yeah.
And last year was a pretty mild winter.
The last two or three have been really mild winters.
And according to whoever, was it the Farmer's Almanac or El Nino and La Nino or whatever? Yeah. It was supposed to be
a mild winter,
I thought.
Yeah.
What the heck happened?
Well, maybe after this it'll be mild.
Fake
because
almanac.
You know what? After this, 20 degrees is mild.
Yes.
I'm going to be out there
right.
in shorts.
We'll be nuts.
Yeah,
we'll be dancing in the streets at 20 degrees.
I can't. 30 degrees? I'm thinking, oh, my gosh.
Right.
I'm going to go cut the lawn.
Right.
Oh, wait, there's snow on it. I can't.
You know what's funny is at the health club that I go to, and I'm one of these people, so I can't point fingers because I do this too. You see so many people running in and out just wearing shorts and either a T-shirt or something because you don't want to come inside with all that extra bundles of clothes. So I just change in the car, and I run in.
What? You do?
Yeah.
That seems just ridiculous, right?
Well, if not, it eats up time. You got to go in the locker room. You got to find a locker.
30 seconds?
It takes me longer.
What do you put pantyhose on?
I want to find a nice locker someplace near the window.
This? You have your shorts and T-shirt on, but over that you put a long sleeve sweatshirt and some sweatpants.
Just pull them off.
And a coat. You take your coat off.
I don't bring the coat off. I keep the coat in the car.
You drop the pants, you're all ready to go.
The sweatpants and the coat stay in the car. I'll sometimes wear a sweatshirt. Because when I leave the house, that initial
Terry's
few moments.
Terry's standing at the door going, where's
nodding
your
head.
Gloves
what have
hat?
I married?
I
guess I hear that a lot.
I wouldn't let my kids go out like that.
No.
Come on, Bill.
But it's not just me. I see other people doing it. And
oh,
we
so
all,
it's okay then.
We all look at each other with the same, we're idiots, right? Yeah, but we're in good shape. So it all balances out. It all makes sense. Judy has made an announcement, Wendy. You're not here for this. You're at home, so I'll have her share it. But yesterday she told us that she was going to win the lottery. Now,
yes.
You did not win the lottery,
because,
Judy, is that right?
Obviously it wasn't enough money.
So you said, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to wait till it gets closer to $1 billion.
Which now, I think it probably will top $1 billion. What are we, 15?
It'll be near $1 billion,
We're about $5 million only away.
Wow.
From the two. I have to now win both, which is a little bit harder, but.
I have to ask you something. When it's this big, do you go to some little rinky-dink place in the middle of nowhere to buy a ticket thinking that, boy, this is the place that's going to turn up the winner?
I don't, but I would recommend that everyone do.
That's the winners tend to come from places like that, don't
and
they?
You know what I've noticed being in the newsroom now for 30 years, the past 5 years, it seems to me that a lot of people win in certain areas.
Right.
Yes.
Streamwood.
Yeah, a lot of Streamwood.
You know, yes. It's so, you know, west, northwest. It's just odd. I just noticed it. Or like downstate.
The winner's always from a place called Winkley Stop and Go in Itasca.
I know.
For some reason. And you go, wait, is there a place called that? Yeah, because all the lottery winners go there.
I mean, I go to 7-Eleven usually, and I hardly ever hear
that.
But, you know, I'd be happy to just get five numbers.
And then they get a percentage, obviously, the place that sells the tickets, so it's exciting for them. Right.
Right. Yeah, they get. I mean, in this case, that's a huge, huge number.
Do they get like 5% or something?
I don't know if it's 1%.
It's got to be closer to 1 than 5. Yeah.
But when you're talking about $1 billion, you know.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. Now, you've also changed your stance. Yesterday, we discussed how people, if you win the lottery, family members come to you with sob stories and they want some money. You've made a declaration about how you distribute should you win.
I thought about it because it's true. I think Wendy's the one who mentioned how money will just rip families apart. Or was that you, Bill? You had that happen.
Yeah. I don't believe it happens.
I'm not going to give anyone actual cash. No one's going to
give money will change
hands. No money will change hands. But, you know, my family, if you come to me and you need a new car or, you know, you want your house paid off, fine. College education. I'll consider that.
What about a hot tub?
Oh, a hot tub is nice.
A hot tub would be hard for me because, no, you don't really need a hot tub.
Do you think that people should submit those to you in advance? Or should they? No, they should definitely be in writing, but do you want to wait until you win or do you want to have a copy of this?
First and foremost, I don't want anyone to ask me for anything when I win.
Nobody.
Do we have to say Your Highness when we ask?
Maybe. I've already gone over that in the newsroom. Listen, on my queen chair. But if it happens, I'm going to save them the misery of having too much money like me.
Will you make the decision of who gets their wishes granted, or will you hire somebody
to do the ultimate?
You know who would be good at that is Domiti Pongo, I think.
Domiti. He might be, but...
He's a very fair man.
He seems fair, but he's still young.
Yeah.
And I think he would...
You need somebody with more experience.
Yeah, more experience, exactly.
All right. Grisana?
You don't think anyone at work would ask you for money.
Are you kidding? Of course they would.
I think they would.
Yeah.
Are you... What is wrong with you people?
You don't have to say the name, but give us initials. Who do you think would ask for money? You don't have to say the name.
But the initials will give it away. I'm not going to
Not necessarily.
No one would ask you.
I think they would.
I think they would.
I definitely think they would.
I think they, maybe not outright, but they might say stuff like, ugh.
Right.
It'd be great if I could, you know,
right.
I'm trying to put my kid through college. Or
I can't afford, I want to get a refrigerator and I can't afford
it. I would just ask you to get pizza for the newsroom.
All right, let me just make this perfectly clear to you guys. You will not see me to ask me, so it won't matter. You'll hear that. God. I wouldn't even quit.
There will be no sign of you.
You'll never see me.
Like,
again.
Everything that you have, like, over the years accumulated, it'll will all go in and go, Judy's stuff is all gone.
Yeah,
like,
no, it'll still
seconds.
Be here. You know, you can't
just
have
you
it.
Will be gone.
You can have all my stuff.
Bill,
my
would you
food.
Quit? Because I would not quit. I would take a little vacation, but I love what I do.
Can I tell you, I don't know. I don't think I would. No, you know what? I would not quit, but I would also.
You guys are both crazy.
I wouldn't quit.
Not right
Jude.
Away. I really wouldn't.
Of course
wouldn't.
You would.
No, I wouldn't
no,
quit.
No, you can't even think about work because it's mind-blowing.
No,
it's mind-blowing what just happened, and why would you come to work every day?
For my life to have some purpose.
We'd have our own compounds on different islands, and we could just remotely do a show.
Yeah, that takes time right. and energy, and you got to go do all that.
Not that
you're
much.
Not going to have time to work. You're not going to have time to work anymore.
There would be more travel, but I don't think I'd want to quit. I'm with Wendy. I think just for my life to have some meaning. You
otherwise,
know?
We wouldn't get dressed up every day.
I love my job, too.
Yeah.
But there's no way.
But the money would supersede that.
Right. Well, and actually, I love my job, but I've worked now my whole life.
Right.
So
and you work way harder than me.
Way harder than
I do
us.
Work way harder than you.
A
I
lot.
Will even admit that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no.
Here's the one thing I know for sure. Now, the odds of this are slim because I don't play the lottery, so winning it is nearly impossible. But should I win, I would tell nobody except my wife and children.
Well, there's that.
But they have to reveal it.
I don't know
you
if
don't
they do. I don't
know.
Think they do.
Oh no! Wait.
Some states you do, because
but not
they
Illinois. Because we've had mystery winners.
I think maybe you do, but you don't have to have the whole press conference and stand there with the check in. So maybe even. If,
but it has to be released to prove that someone
yes,
won it.
I think that might be true. But okay, and you can wait a whole year. You're right, Bill.
Right.
I would do the same thing.
Yeah.
I have to take a loan out to do all the stuff I need to do.
Judy, you could not keep your mouth shut. I'm telling you right now.
You tell somebody,
really?
Right, Jude?
You have no idea what $1 billion is. My name won't even be Judy anymore.
But I wouldn't want anyone other than my immediate
right.
family,
no,
I wouldn't want anyone else
no,
to
I
know.
I wouldn't do this.
I may have
I'd
already won it.
Tell,
a few
Bill.
Again, with that amount of money, you have to make all your arrangements. You have to get a lawyer. You have to do a lot of stuff.
Right. I get Rich Lankoff. He's our legal counsel.
Exactly. He'd be very good.
We'd be able to tell if you won, Bill. You'd
How?
Come in a Tesla. You would buy
yeah,
a new
I know,
car.
Right?
I would dress like Huggy Bear. Wait, no, Rooster. Who was the one on Beretta? That was Rooster, right? Who was like
no,
a pimp?
No, Huggy Bear.
No, Huggy Bear was kind of
Starsky and Hutch, right?
Huggy Bear was the Starsky and Hutch guy who was kind of a little too streetwise for his own good.
Oh, yeah, you're
but
right.
But Rooster was the guy in Beretta that was real flashy and wore like a cowboy hat with plumes and stuff. I'd start dressing like Rooster.
I don't remember Rooster.
He was cool.
Good luck with that. I'm sure you could probably, you know what, you probably meet him. You could become him.
Plus, Wendy, I would say stuff like this. I'd go, I couldn't park my flying car in the lot today because somebody was in my spot. Do you know whose car that was? Flying car that was? But
What's
it'll never
happen.
What's
the first thing you'd buy, Bill?
I would.
A helicopter? You were talking about it earlier.
I would buy a house that would accommodate an in-the-ground swimming pool. Is
so
that,
obviously not in Illinois.
That's tough.
Because I would like that as well.
I don't know, because if I'm keeping the job, I got to be close enough to come back and forth every day. But I've always
remotely.
Wanted...
Yeah.
You could have an indoor, not in your house, but you could cover it.
Yeah, and then it'd be like the dome where you can open it in the summertime.
Oh, you know what? Why stop there? Why don't you have like a water park?
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Grizzly Bills.
Perfect.
All right, now you're talking.
Yeah,
why not? What would you get, Wendy, first?
Boy, I just don't know.
There's too much
about it? Wow.
There's too much crazy stuff out there that our minds can't even wrap themselves around because you just go, well, I'll never have the money for that, so you don't even think about it,
but
right?
See, first,
but
I
you've
would,
thought about
I
it.
I would go away. I would be in, you know, some island somewhere and take my whole family.
Somewhere
my
tropical?
Kids, yes, and we would go there and discuss.
Yeah, but
what
if they're
do.
In school?
They could miss a little bit of school if we're billionaires.
They don't have to worry about their futures anymore because
right. well,
they've
they
got $1 billion.
Oh, absolutely not. They will have to work.
She'll make
it
work harder.
You'll do like
years,
what Bill Gates is doing,
well,
saying
I mean,
your kids get nothing.
They get no. They'll have to take care of me. You know, I've got the one kid who's majoring in business and finance, so he can take care of the money.
Yeah,
and the other one will maybe have his own studio, I guess.
Yeah,
but
animation
studio.
Yeah,
they're gonna have to work. Yeah, just because I don't, that's my money.
I hope she doesn't win. Just for the
Wendy,
good of all people and
come
her family.
On. That's not nice.
See, Wendy,
I want
you
to
understand
win.
Half of my earning. If I win $1 billion, are you kidding me? at least half's going to have to go to my mystery plans for the human race.
Yeah. Wait, wait! You have mystery plans for the human race?
What is that? To better the world.
Oh, that! Oh, good stuff. Yes. It'll be honestly good stuff.
Yeah. Honestly good stuff, and it's gonna, and not any of this. Just here's the money. Go. No, I'm gonna do it myself. See, this is gonna be my job. That's right. That's gonna be my new job.
So you know how you're known for being kind of on the frugal side. You are the goodbye girl. You like to save money. Will all that go out the window if you had all that kind of money?
You know what? It's in my blood. Of course,
you'd
not.
Still be thrifty.
It's not about. It's never been about the money.
No,
thrifty is not. It's about
and finding a good bargain is very exciting.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right? It's about that.
Yeah.
It's about getting the deal.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it should also be about the money. Of course, it's where that's the ultimate.
Yeah.
Result is you save money.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to?
Right.
But yeah, no, it's about finding it.
Interesting.
Finding the amazing deal. Mm.
So now that it's close to a billion, are you doubling down? Are you going to play more? Or are you going to
amount? I do my numbers and then I buy one quick pick. So only two.
That's it. One chance.
Because your odds don't increase. You have to go from one ticket to like 10,000 tickets
to make a difference.
Yeah.
Right.
So why bother?
I guess so.
I don't understand people who buy like 50 tickets.
Judy, I hope you. I know Wendy is on the contrary side, but I hope you do win.
Yeah, Wendy.
I think it'd be good.
He's just trying to get money.
Be good for business. A guy from WGN won once.
Who?
Some guy who worked here won the lottery like 12 years ago, 15 years ago. You don't remember this, Jude?
Wait, who was it?
Some guy won millions. I don't remember who it was. I wasn't here yet. Wendy wasn't here yet. We weren't here yet. You were. I think you were here for this.
Sounds familiar.
Was it a guy?
Was it
an engineer? No, it was not West Bleed.
No.
West Bleed tried to steal some paintings, though, at an art gallery. Did you know that? That's in my new book. If it bleeds, it leads. That's my new book.
Don't we hadn't said that 1,000 times when we were here.
But I think it was a guy who was an engineer at GN, and he
Jim
won.
Jim Holland?
No, it wasn't Jim Holland. He would have told us.
I think you might be right.
Jim Holland would drop $1,000 bills in the hallway all the time and just watch us pick them up.
Yeah. And then he'd ask for, like, you know, new bolts for something.
Yep. Yep.
Oh,
you don't remember?
No.
Isn't that crazy? But it was some WGN person won.
Did they quit or did they continue?
They quit.
I know someone who won the lottery. We'll say his family won.
What did he do for a living?
I think he worked at, like, the criminal courts building.
And he quit?
I think his brother won.
Oh.
The family won. So, no, I think he's still there.
You guys, I think I found the winner.
Jasmine, who is it?
Gregory Hernandez.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Gregory Hernandez. All right. How could I forget
Wait,
about
don't,
him?
Wait, don't say any more yet, Jazz. I don't know if you have any more about him. What do you remember about Gregory Hernandez
A nice guy ever.
So
he
for
was
him
Spike's
to win.
Producer.
Right.
He
that's
was
it.
A producer.
That's it.
Jazz, just so you know, he was so nice. We couldn't have been happier.
Yeah. Now, here's a weird question, but it's a legitimate question. He is employee of WGN and the Tribune, who at the time was broadcasting the lottery game show. So was there anyone going, wait a minute, a guy who works for the Tribune Company and WGN can't be a winner on the lottery
because
they also have the lottery game show.
No.
He was okay to win.
And again, I think it was his ticket.
You think it was what?
He didn't split it with people?
No, I think I'm saying he did a whole family thing as I recall.
Yeah.
But I think he was the one who actually bought the ticket.
Yeah.
But he was sharing it with his family.
Interesting.
And, you know, back then, it was a couple million dollars. It wasn't like now. The lottery's never got this
right.
big.
Once it became Super Bowl, Powerball, then it became an obscene amount of money.
You guys should talk to Spike tomorrow and see if he remembers all that, because he did quit. Of course he quit his
so
job.
So did he quit that day? Like, he won and he said to Spike, I don't need you.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Because it was a big deal for a long time.
My friend.
That's why you remembered his name.
Greg Hernandez. I can't. No, but it sounded familiar. I'm like,
How long had he been here when he won? A couple of years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably a couple of years.
But the key is he was a nice guy.
He was a nice guy.
Wouldn't it be horrible if he was not a nice guy anymore?
If a Steve Bertrand won, you know how I feel about
it. Jeez, you have got to stop with this Steve Bertrand bashing while he's on the air against us.
I know myself because he never hears it. He never knows.
He listens to the podcast every day.
Yeah. Because he makes,
tell me?
After every day, he sits down.
We have been friends for 30 years, Steve and I.
He sits Wendy and I down and he critiques the podcast every day with us.
We're like brother-sister.
He says, I wouldn't do this, I wouldn't do this.
And we roll our eyes and go, we make that stroking motion.
Yep.
Right, Bertrand?
Yeah. Yep.
Have fun with your Wintrust business line.
Yeah. That's how it goes down.
You're bitching at me for being mean? Oh, my God.
Speaking of money, did you see this lady in Pennsylvania? She gets her electric bill, and everybody's electric bill is going to be a little higher in the winter for obvious reasons. Maybe you got the heat going. Maybe you got electrical, you know, a display for Christmas, so it's going to make your bill go up. Her bill, this is Mary Horomanowski, who lives out in Pennsylvania.
Don't pay her. Thank you, Bill.
Her bill. No, it's the other way around. She shouldn't pay the bill. Her bill, $284 billion.
Oh, my good Lord.
Which she said she thought might have been a mistake.
But she wasn't sure.
She wasn't positive.
So she called.
This seems awfully high. I wonder if there was error.
I'm pretty sure when she called, they were like, if it says that, you got to pay
it.
That's always their response.
That's what you should do, right?
Yeah. How many therms did she use?
Yeah. Wendy.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a family show.
It's always those damn therms, Wendy.
Yep, yep. It says here, you can't blame Mary Horomanowski. Pregnant pause. For getting a little charged up when she saw her electric bill earlier this month. When the Erie, Pennsylvania resident checked how much she owed the electric company online, she was met with a bill for a whopping $284 billion. My eyes just about popped out of my head, the 58-year-old Horomanowski told. She told the Erie Times News. We had put up Christmas lights, and we wondered if maybe we had put them up wrong. Now, honestly, talk about a lady handling it.
She and just, what's wrong?
Putting, I know.
Putting the plug in upside down? And how do you do anything wrong?
Oh, Daryl, we've really made a mess this time. $284 billion later. On the bright side, she had a full year to pay the entire $284 billion bill. Her minimum payment was a mere $28,156. You know how you can pay it in installments?
Yes.
See, they've got a heart there at the electric company. Yeah, they don't expect you to pay the whole $284 billion at once. For some reason, Horomanowski suspected there may have been a billing error.
Really?
Right. Right. Which was confirmed when her son called the electric provider, which is Penelac. That's the name of the company. And I take that when my stomach doesn't feel right. It turns out, instead, she only owed $284.46.
How much?
$284.46.
Ah, the decimal points.
Somehow, Wendy, you know how decimals are. If you don't put them in the exact right place, all heck breaks loose.
Yep.
Mark Durbin, a spokesperson for Penelac's parent company, First Energy, said he had never seen a bill for billions of dollars, but told the Erie Times News that the company appreciates Horomanowski's willingness to reach out about the mistake. What else would you do? You wouldn't just go, well, no matter what happens, this is my responsibility. Yeah. I got to pay it. The multi-billion dollar bill did inspire Horomanowski to add an item to her Christmas list. I told my son that I want a heart monitor, she told the paper.
Just not one that plugs in.
Right. Back in August of 2012, a British woman on vacation in South Wales bought a cheap mobile phone because her own cell phone couldn't pick up the local signal. Thanks to a technical glitch in that case, she ended up being slapped with a bill for $42,000.
Jeez.
See, that's something that you look at and you go, there's probably a mistake. But if you open up a bill and it says it's something in the billions, you have to know right off the bat, I'm free. Right. There's no way in the world this is my responsibility.
And I would have gone one step further and said, I'm not even paying that $284. You
right.
suck it up.
Right.
Causing me to almost have a heart
You
attack.
Almost killed me.
Yeah,
you owe me that much money. Good day, sir.
Good day to
Anytime
you.
There's a confrontation, I think it should end with those words. Good day, sir. And then put a chapeau on to make it more appropriate. Oh, man.
And let me tell you, I have called the ComEd, and they've made a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're
like, well, we read it. I go, well, you read it wrong. I mean, even coming out and reading the meter was wrong.
So a guy came out, read the meter, put the wrong numbers down, and you were savvy enough to know.
He put the wrong numbers down. That's probably what happened in this case. They have this little machine. They go, beep.
Yeah.
And it records it. No one, I don't even think anyone puts numbers in. You go and it automatically goes online and records what your number is on your meter. That was wrong.
How is it in today's technologically advanced society that meter readers still exist? Wouldn't
I know,
you think
right?
that the company would have a way of monitoring
I think
it?
The smart meters, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's
I
the difference.
Like those, yeah,
so who makes the decision? I should know this, but I don't know. Who makes the decision on any dwelling, whether or not it's a smart meter or it's still the kind that a meter reader has to come and read?
Well, I think they update things because they just updated our gas meters.
Yeah, you don't have a choice. The smart meters are going in whether you like
them or
not. Because some people do not want them.
But what about little children whose dream it's always been to be a meter reader?
Yeah,
what will they do for a living?
We're not going to have those anymore.
They have to be fire people.
Because you know what? You want to go out in this weather and meet a reader.
Right.
Yeah.
Plus, there's always the chance of somebody having a dog that'll bite you.
Yeah, it's not.
It's a
not
very
a
perilous
job. Exactly.
No.
I enjoy my meter readers.
Are they
nice people?
I always see them. I do always see them, which is weird.
How much did you tip your meter readers for Christmas this year?
Well, nothing because there was a big mistake. And when I called, they were, like I suspected, not very accommodating.
Oh.
Here's your tip. Don't screw up again.
Yeah. You know what? First they said, well, we estimated your bill last time, and now we read it. And I said, I don't really care what you did.
Right. Oh.
The therms were like out of the world.
Yeah.
Wait till I win the $1 billion.
Right.
Yeah. Do you know who you're talking to?
Then you can come to my compound with my children and me.
And I will not be paying my electric bill to compound. I will have a solar roof.
Ah, that's the way to be.
Yeah.
Be green with your compound.
Be all green, of course.
Good for you.
So. Not easy being green.
So mistakes do happen.
Wendy with the last second Kermit reference right before the buzzer.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Ooh, thank you, Marv.
We'll take a quick break and close things off. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, Judy already left because she says she thinks she's going to win the lottery, so why spend the rest of her day with us? Her words, not mine.
I believe it.
Very hurtful. Very hurtful. All right, that's it for the show for today, for Thursday. Hope you enjoyed yourself. I think we're going to do another one tomorrow, Wendy. Are you up for one more this week?
Yes, because I enjoyed myself immensely
today,
Bill.
A good time. Everybody had a good time. All right, so tomorrow, the Friday show. Friday, of course, the best day ever invented, and we can all experience it together. So tune in then. That's it. Bye, everybody. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.